Welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guests are founders of Kadesh Map Ministries and United Nations for Israel, Archbishop Dominika and Rabbi Baruch Bierman, with pianist Steve Kuban. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, Pastor Joe Campbell, and I'm Tammy Subaker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Welcome to everyone watching today. Yes. We're thrilled to have you here. We have an amazing program for you. Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. I believe that with all of my heart. And I know some of you are still wondering about the election. The election night caused a lot of disappointments and happiness, you know. But we don't rely on man. We rely on God Almighty. Yes. Jesus is our Savior, and we're looking to Him, not to earth. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus is the answer.
Yes, He is. Amen.
And we're thrilled to have you all here. We have a great audience here today.
We do.
And we have a great crowd on the set today. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight people.
Amen. Wow.
Amen. What does eight mean?
New beginning. Yes.
New beginning. Yay! Anybody need a new beginning? I like new beginnings.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite numbers is eight because it's new beginning. And I think you can have a new beginning every day.
Amen.
I really do.
Yeah. His mercies are new every day. That's why.
Yep. You know, Pastor, in spite of the nation being such a divided nation.
Yes.
I believe that God is getting ready to do a miracle in our land and in our times, because when it looks like everything else is working against us, that's when God shows up.
Amen.
And that's the miracle.
And
time.
We have to have God.
Yeah.
We can't rely on politics. Politicians will fail us every time. Man will fail.
And
but
media.
God never fails. No.
And the media has polluted the minds of so many people.
Oh, my God.
And changed even their views and their thoughts and their ideas. And here's the crazy thing. If abortion was not an issue on the political stand today, it would have been a red wave all the way across.
That's
but
right.
The crazy thing is, I know there's Christians that are believing in abortion. Mm-hmm. Now, that's hard to understand whenever God is so plain and clear
it's
that we
wrong.
Are not to kill.
It's murder.
We're not to that's destroy right. the innocents. And here we have people who are Bible-believing, church-going people who are promoting abortion, who voted because of that abortion so that they feel like they want their rights. They've switched their votes.
The number one thing that I learned from this election was the polls. If you watch the election returns, they gave all the polls on every subject.
Yes.
A big percentage of America is in favor of abortion.
That's right.
That blows me away.
Yeah.
God says He's going to judge America.
20 years
if we
ago,
keep
would
killing
you believe,
babies.
20 years ago, would you believe that that would even be even a thought in somebody's mind?
No.
I mean, in America, there is no way 20 years ago that we would have done it. But it shows you where our society is today.
If my grandma came back right now, she couldn't believe America.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was a kid, America believed in Jesus almost 100%.
Yeah.
Had faith in God.
That's right. The nation did, And they were, and they feared God. There was a fear and a reverence of God, of what God was going to do and how God was going to respond and the things that was going on. You know, my father-in-law was a Pentecostal preacher, and I'm telling you what, that guy was a hell-raising preacher. I'm telling you, when he preached, he did hellfire and brimstone. I mean, you got saved whether you felt like it or not, every service. But I'm telling you, the people believed in the fear of God.
Yes.
And there's something about the fear of God that has shifted, and it's almost like they're not afraid of God anymore.
Mm.
That's right. And that's a scary thing
that's
when we get to that point.
Well, today we have Archbishop Dominika Bierman back with us.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Baruch Bierman are the co-founders of Kadesh Map.
Ministry.
I don't speak. Israel very well.
Israel.
Ministries and the United Amen. Nations for Israel. Amen. Their programs from Israel to the nations mm-hmm. is on the PTO, Voice of the Prophets Network, Thursdays and Fridays at 6:30 a.m. and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. So they're on several times a week, and I know people are watching them there. Archbishop is internationally known for her many books on the restoration of the church to its Jewish roots and foundations. Rabbi Berman is an intercessor for his wife and an author and is gifted in healing.
Amen.
Archbishop, you and Rabbi were in Israel during the Feast of the Tabernacles a few weeks ago. What was that like, and what was your mission there?
Wow, that is the highlight of the year. It's the time when we bring people from all over the world. At this point, we were 9 nations together and 40 people. Normally, we're like 100, 120. And we march in the Jerusalem March with flags, with banners. And this time, we march in the Jerusalem March with the flag of Yeshua in the midst of Jerusalem.
Oh. Amen.
Can you imagine that? And the people on the sidelines of the march were actually cheering us on. In fact, one rabbi came, I was interviewing people on the sidelines, yes. and you may have those programs also mm-hmm. on the PTL show. And one rabbi came to me and he said to me, there was thousands of Israelis coming to watch us march with shofar blowing, with everything you can imagine. And he came to me and he said, you pray for us and we will pray for you. In other words, he didn't know I was Israeli. He didn't know I was a Jew. He thought I was just a Christian from the nations and I was speaking English on purpose. And so he said, you pray for us, we will pray for you. And I said, really? I said, tell me something. We are definitely praying for you, for the Jewish people, right? For Israel. But why? Why do you say that you need to pray for us? You know, like the Jews pray for the
right,
Christians.
Right.
And he says, because that's the key for redemption.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you have acceptance from the crowd?
Tremendous.
When they saw the flag?
I have no words. In fact, there was even 2 women that accepted Yeshua and gave their lives to Yeshua before I left Israel.
Wow.
And I can tell you there was tremendous acceptance. We planted orchards. I'm seeing that you're showing the videos.
Yes.
We planted a Unify, United Nations for Israel prayer orchard. That's a memorial orchard for my son that passed away 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were among the religious Orthodox Zionists, and they knew that we are in Yeshua. They knew that we are Messianic, that we came to bless them and bless the land. And I'll tell you, we were absolutely welcomed and received tremendously well.
Amen.
That's
tremendously
amazing. Well. Wow. Beautiful.
We're going to talk about the key of Abraham, but I want you to sing
okay.
the song, Bishop.
Yep, I'm just going to have...
Bishop and...
Rabbi, can you get... You have a rabbi putting your...
Yeah, I've got my special helper and intercessor here.
Oh.
Executive assistant.
and we
he's
have,
the one that makes me laugh. So.
He does. He's wonderful.
We have Steve Kuban.
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Yes, Kuban.
Where were you born?
I was born in Coleman, Alberta, Canada.
Oh. Canadian.
Yeah, then lived in Toronto for 17 years and New York for 10 years. And then I saw the light and moved to Orlando.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And so, Archbishop, would you sing and play? And we're going to have Steve Kuban play along with you on the keyboard.
Thank you. Steve is also a graduate of our GRM Bible School,
mm-hmm.
and it changed his life. I mean, he would give you a testimony about this, but this particular song is what I call the anthem of a revolution, mm-hmm. And it is the anthem of the United Nations for Israel.
Amen.
Restore, restore the glory that we lost so long ago. Make us one in you, Gentile and Jew. Together we'll arise and reach out to all the nations as we are one in you, Gentile and Jew.
For the key of Abraham has been given to mankind, and the key of Abraham opens all doors. For the key of Abraham has been given to mankind, and the key of Abraham opens all doors. It is time now to get rid of all the lies that separate us. It is time to know the truth and walk in love. Grafted in the olive tree, Israel, both Jew and Gentile, reaching out to all the world with many signs. For the key of Abraham has been given to mankind, and the key of Abraham opens all doors. For the key of Abraham has been given to mankind, and the key of Abraham opens all doors.
It's the most important key that makes the world go round. If we don't get this key, we're going down. And I'm not exaggerating.
I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. All the families of the earth will now be blessed. As we rise up together and reach out to all the nations, grafted in the olive tree, Gentile and Jew. For the key of Abraham has been given to mankind, and the key of Abraham opens all doors. For the key of Abraham has been given to morning sun, and the key of Abraham opens all doors. Yes, the key of Abraham opens all the doors.
That makes the world go round, beloved. I can prove it to you with many scriptures. It's one of these things that's been hiding, that's been a mystery that most people don't know, and even people in the church that know, they only half know it. But it's the key.
Let's talk about it right now.
Let's talk about it.
What is the key of Abraham? And you can take your car off if you want. Take the guitar off. You want to sing some more?
You know what? I have another song coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Will you let me?
Yeah. Yes.
Ready? All right, here we go. The lion that defeated the dragon.
Have you not heard? Been told there is a story of old. There is a story of old.
Hallelujah!
Have you not heard? Has it not been told? A story of old. defeated the dragon. There was light, though darkness all around. It didn't bother them at all. They had a covenant of the dragon. Let everything that has breath praise Yahweh and praise him with unmasked face and with unrelenting faith. Defeated the dragon.
And roar! Amen.
Amen.
What can I tell you?
Yes.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after this special message.
Hello, I'm Jim Baker. As you know, one of my favorite personal projects has been to build what I like to call a last days library. We have the most amazing and anointed teachers and prophets. They're guests on my show every day. We're able to offer their books and DVDs to you so you can study the prophets and their messages, what God is revealing to them, so you'll be in the know for the last days. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has been extraordinary, and God wants His church to listen to Him. Not all the clamor of the world. I believe we are in the last days. The book of Revelation describes them. The Bible tells us not to be afraid, but to be wise, to be prepared. So go to our website, take a look at our selection of books and DVDs from some of your favorite prophets. Pick up the one you've been wanting to get and get a couple more as gifts for birthday presents, for Christmas presents. We're offering special discounts this week, right now, up to 50% off. So go to jimbakershow.com to order your books today. This is a tremendous discount of 50% off. Do your Christmas shopping. Go to our website. You're supporting the mission of the PTL Television Network. You're taking the voice of the prophets and bringing it to the world. And I want you to order your product, order your books, order your Christmas items, and support the ministry during this holiday to keep us strong. God loves you. Thank you for calling. He really loves you. He really does.
You know, the thing is that really when we talk about breakthrough, when we talk about revival, when we talk about the Lion of Judah, we need to realize that there will be an opposition. If there is no opposition, we said nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
There is opposition.
There has to be. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was laughing this morning. I was going, ha, 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 ho, 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 ha, 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 ho, in tongues. That's right. Because if there is no opposition, then revival is not coming. If we're going to tickle the ears, then what's going to happen is that revival will never come. We're going to stay stuck in woke America.
Okay, let's talk about Abraham and how important...
The key of Abraham.
The key of Abraham.
and how important it is.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time here today, this show's already half over.
Well.
Not quite. No. But answer that question first.
The key of Abraham is the key that makes the world go round. Let me explain it to you. I'm going to break it open before you, okay? The key of Abraham is based on the promise that God gave to Abraham.
Okay.
Genesis 12:3. It starts with Lech Lecha, get out of your country and your family and all the familiar, and I will bring you into a promised land. And then he gives them a promise, and he said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, let me explain this. This promise is repeated to Isaac, is repeated to Jacob. It goes throughout like a string throughout the entire scriptures all the way to the end. When in Isaiah 34, it talks about the judgment of the nations, and it says that all the nations have already been prejudged because of the cause of Zion. In Joel 3, when it says that there is going to be a valley of judgment for all of the nations because of the way that they've treated the Jewish people and how they divided the land and how they've not helped. Matthew 25:32, when it talks clearly and it says, because, you know, Yeshua said that he's going to be sitting in his white throne, right? And he's going to bring all of the nations before him, and he's going to separate the nations as the sheep are separated from the goats. And he will put the sheep to the right, the goats to the left. And he said, hallelujah, that the reason for that was because of the way that the nations treated his brethren. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to realize that the least of his brethren is me, Rabbi, Robert, okay? And to be honest with you, my dear, your grandmother was Jewish, wasn't she?
Yes.
I'm so sorry to tell you. Well, I'm not sorry to tell you. I'm excited to tell you that God is restoring your Jewish roots. Mm. I'm very
Praise
excited
God.
To tell you because
I'll
this is a
that.
Happening.
Yes.
This is a happening Amen. For the end times. It's a happening that he's doing in this end times that will make you whole in this end times. So anyways, going back to this, when he said the separation of the sheep and the goats, it's all about how the nations treated the Jews. Did you give them to eat? Did they give them to drink? Did you visit them in prison? Did you care for them when they were suffering? It's all about the Jews. I mean, you can do good to the whole world, and we should. Mm-hmm. But if we fail to do good to the Jews, we missed the key of Abraham. But let me back up a little bit. Genesis 12:3. Let me break it down from the Hebrew, can I? From
yes,
the Hebrew?
Yes, absolutely.
So, I will bless those who bless you. The word is bracha, bracha. And that word comes from the word berech, the knee. And really what it means is I will bow, Yahweh, Elohim, will bow his royal knee, his king knee, before those who bow their knees to do good, to favor, to bless the Jewish people. They go out of their way to do that. They have to humble their hearts to do that. But he says, me, the God of Israel, will bow down before those. Wow, that's big. Yep. That's a big, huge amount of favor, huge. And then he goes to the second part. And the second part is, I will curse those who curse you. But there are two words for curse, two words. One of them is me'era. The other one is klala. And so I'm going to explain those two words. Me'era means to utter a word of complete annihilation, destruction, and distress. Utter a word, me'era, is when we curse with our mouth somebody to die, somebody to go bad. Okay, the second word, klala, means comes from the word kal. Kal means light. And klala means to take lightly. We find that word also in Proverbs 20 and in many other places, 20:20. In many other places where it's connected with father or mother. For example, if you curse father or mother in Proverbs 20:20, your light will be put out in outer darkness, okay? Mm-hmm. And so he says this, I, Yahweh, the God of Israel, will utter a word of complete annihilation and destruction to those that take you lightly. To those, because that curse is not curse as uttering a curse with your mouth of destruction, but it's actually dishonoring a parent or taking a parent lightly. How do you know when you go to Deuteronomy 5 about the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. and it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth, that they may be good and long upon the earth.
Yes.
Exactly the same for Israel. So the relationship of the nations, including the Christians in the nations, with Israel, with the Jewish people, and that includes, you know, the whole gamut of what we represent, is a matter of life and death.
Yes.
For the nations and in the church. And that connects me with my prophecy about the rose. You may remember it because I actually gave it to you here in Purim 2021. And I said that the Holy Spirit that I was preaching in Switzerland, and it was the first Back to the Roots seminar. And I started with Cain. Where is your brother Abel? His blood is calling to me from the ground. And then people began to break and repent from anti-Semitism and replacement theology and all of that. And I also taught them about many other things, the difference between the biblical feast, the pagan feast, and other things. When I finished in the glory, I went to the airport and I said, Lord, what's the big deal about teaching the Jewish roots to the church? Because I finished in the glory. Let me tell you, I know the glory. The glory is heavy, it's weighted, it's awesome. It's not just the anointing, it's the glory.
Yes.
And so he said to me, I said, why is it so important? Why do I, as a Jew, need the trouble to come and speak to the Christians about the Jewish roots of the faith when there's been so much anti-Semitism through the ages in the name of Jesus Christ and all of this? And so you know what he told me? Mm-hmm. He said, it is a matter of life and death, because the church has been like a rose that's been cut off from her garden, put in a vase with water for 2 days, 2,000 years, 2 days, 1,000, 1 day is like 1,000 years. But if on the third day she's not replanted back, she will surely die. The rose will die. And that's the reason why I've run through all of the nations of the world, speaking about the key of Abraham, talking about my books, The Healing Power of the Roots, Grafted in Sheep Nations, my holy trilogy, that is for the purpose of turning the entire church to the key of Abraham, hallelujah,
Amen.
And to the end time revival, beloveds. Without this, it's not going to be any revival.
Now, your book is out, Sheep Nations.
Yeah.
They can order that right now while you're talking if they want to get it.
Okay.
And it's...
There's a three.
Yes, what we're doing, we've put together a very special offer.
Oh, my, you're getting three books.
That's right. This is one bundle. That's right. It's the trilogy. That's right. The Sheep Nations, Grafted In, and The Healing Power of the Roots book. Offer a donation of $65 to the ministry, and that includes the shipping and handling. So you receive all three books. You can call our toll-free number, 1-888-988-1588.
People can order that whole set of books if they want to right now. In The Healing Power of the Roots, you tell the story of when God said to you, it pleased me to bruise you. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. That's connected with America, and it's connected with the revival of America, and I may be blubbering and crying when I'm telling you this, so it's all right if my makeup runs off.
Yeah.
Okay? You see, when Yeshua saved me, I was the mother of two children, and I was, going through a terrible divorce that finalized, and I lost my children.
Oh.
And the father said to me, you've got to go to America. It was 1990. And I said, but Lord... And he said to me, not only to America, I'm sending you out to the nations as an apostle. I said, but Lord, what about my children? I could see them. We had like kind of a joint custody. I could see them, but I couldn't take them with me.
And you were in Israel.
I was in Israel. I was in Jerusalem.
You were in
Jerusalem.
That's
a picture of them on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a picture of my kids.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm sending you. And I said, but Lord, what about my kids? And immediately showed me a heart, a big heart. And Yeshua was sitting in the middle of that heart. And he had one of my children on his right knee and the other child on his left knee. And he said, and he was hugging them. And he said, they're with me, but you must go. Well, I obeyed him. I went. And then I went to 15 more nations on top of it.
So you came to America.
But I came to America and I came to Bible school. Christ for the Nations. He sent us to Bible school.
Right.
That's the school my son went to.
Yeah, I know, Ricky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And we went to that Bible school, and I was calling my kids. Every week, we were calling them once a week. You know, we were in scholarship, so we received $200, for the school, scholarship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we use all, besides the tithe, we would not give up on the tithe. So, you know, we tithe,
right?
We tithe. Yes. And the rest we used to call my kids in Israel. See, at that time, there was no internet, no email, no nothing.
Right.
So we had to just spend everything to call my kids. So we were calling every week, but we went to the dollar store and, you know, choosing some trinkets to sell, to send them home once a month. And, you know, those dollar store things and everything to keep the relationship going.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the Father, and I said, but Abba, you are the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you do something miraculous to send me with my kids that I could bring them with me? And the Father answered me, it pleased me to bruise you.
Mm. You write about the difference between wild olives versus cultivated olives.
Amen.
What does that mean for believers?
Wow, everything. And the Gentiles were wild olives. And what is a wild olive? A wild olive is still an olive.
Yeah.
But it has no roots. And when it has no roots, what happens is that it has a lot of fruit, but it's thin fruit with a stone inside. It's just skin and stone, no oil inside. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of fruit, but no fruit.
Hmm.
And so when we're talking about being grafted in Romans 11, which says very clearly that the Gentiles, being wild olive branches, are grafted into the olive tree, and together with the Jewish branches, they make up this bride. Mm-hmm. Then I have to read it. Can I read it to you?
Yes.
I want to read it to you directly from the scriptures, because this is so graphic. Look, this is the Apostle Paul saying, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never let be, but their false step salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, this is the context, okay? Now, let's jump in the context. And he says in verse 13, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, insofar as I am an emissary, an apostle to the Gentiles, I spotlight or magnify my ministry, like the spotlights on the stage today. Mm-hmm. If somehow I might provoke to jealousy my own flesh and blood and save some of them. For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? The acceptance of the Jewish people with the Jewish roots brings revival, brings the life from the dead. And then he goes on to say, if the first fruit is holy, so is the whole batch of the dough. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But here we go. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, not instead of them, among them, and became a partaker of the root of the olive tree with its richness, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. True enough. They were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Notice then the kingdom and severity of God. Mm. Severity toward those who fell, but God's kindness towards you. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And they also, if they don't continue in their unbelief, like Rabbi and I, will be grafted in. So technically is all about this. Yah brought the wild branches to graft them into the olive tree. To eat of the same rich root of the olive tree, of the same Torah, of the same word, of the same biblical feast, of the same everything, of the same.
God desires us
to be together, to be one,
to love one another. I hate to change the subject at all, but this anti-Semitic thing that's going in America right now drives me, can I say crazy? I shouldn't say that, but it's awful.
It's awful.
And I don't understand it.
Right.
Yes.
Rabbi, do you two understand it? what's going on right now in America? Why such an anti-Semitic rise up in America right now?
It happened many years ago. There was a woman that couldn't stand that God would be mentioned, Jesus would be mentioned.
Yes.
Anything about God would be mentioned in schools. And she, with some money and some backing, got God taken out of the schools. Once God got taken out of the schools, you couldn't have a prayer meeting, you couldn't mention the name of Elohim or Jesus or whatever you, however you're going to refer to you, mm-hmm. to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. You couldn't mention that in school anymore. Mm-hmm. When God got taken out of schools, what came in?
But it went further than that.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm a roots person.
Go ahead.
I like to, you know, when you find a cancer, you want to find the solution to mm-hmm. the cancer. You don't want to, you know, have something fluffy done. It's much further than that. You need to realize the moment that it happened on the 4th century through the Council of Nicaea, that the church completely divorced from the Jews and everything Jewish. Christian anti-Semitism was born. America is a Christian nation, or was a Christian nation. And therefore, this that I'm talking to you about today, about the key of Abraham, about the Jewish roots of the faith, about the difference between the biblical feast and the pagan feast, was not taught in the church. Rather, it was taught that we should separate of the detestable company of the Jews, because the Savior showed us another way. Another gospel came in, and then idolatry was born in the church with all the idols and the saints and the statues that were in the Catholic Church and whatnot. And this manifested later on. You see that sometimes we can do some things in past generations, but it manifests in our generations. When you go to 2 Samuel 21, you can see that Saul killed the Gibeonites, but it manifested at the time of David, and David was not even to blame for it. And so this divorce from the Jewish roots of the faith manifests today, beloved ones, because the church has been schooled in replacement theology and underlining anti-Semitism.
Tell us what replacement theology is.
It's a five-headed monster. It's a principality. And that's therefore, I'm going to tell you that, you know, cognizantly, but I want to tell it to you in the context of the principality. It's a demonic principality that has five heads. The first head is anti-Messiah. The second head is anti-Israel. The third head is anti-Torah. The fourth head is anti-Jewish. The last head is anti-Zionist. Let me break it open. Anti-Messiah. In Hebrew, Mashiach means the anointed one mm-hmm. with his anointing. So anyone that comes against the Holy Spirit is part of replacement theology. Because when replacement theology was established as church doctrine, mm-hmm. separating from the detestable company of the Jews, as Constantine put it, then from that moment the Holy Spirit backed up from that church and left it altogether in apostasy and into the dark ages. So anybody that comes against the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, beloved ones, is in replacement theology. He's replacing the Holy Spirit for something else. Mm. Number two, anti-Israel, replacing Israel. The church is now Israel. Israel is done away with. Israel has sinned. Israel is under a curse. And therefore, we are mandated in the church, preachers preached about it, to actually humiliate and hate the Jews. So that's anti-Israel, replacing Israel. Statutes were all over the churches at the time, the Catholic churches, and that had two statutes. One of them was church triumphant, and the other one was a synagoga vanqua. Synagoga vanqua was the synagogue vanquished or conquered or broken, and the other one was church triumphant with the crown outstanding. In other words, saying the church triumphed over the Israel, over the Jews. The Jews are broken, Israel is broken, the church is triumphant. Third, anti-Israel, anti-Torah. What's the Torah? The Torah is the instructions of God in righteousness. You were asking about abortions. Well, beloved one, if we are not teaching the Torah, we are not teaching the commandments of God, we can expect the abortions. Mm-hmm. Because the commandments of God are not being taught in the church, because there's been this fad going on saying that we are not under the law. Don't tell us the law is for those Jews, really. Well, Yeshua didn't say that.
The Torah is the Bible.
The Torah is the Bible. And Yeshua is the Torah made flesh.
Yes, that's right. Yeshua is the Torah made flesh.
That's right. He's the Word made flesh. He's the Torah made flesh. And so that when we don't teach the Torah, we don't teach the righteous ways of God in the scriptures all the way from the Hebrew foundations, we are going to have that what we're having here today. And so that's anti-Torah. And then we have anti-Jewish. Yeah. And anti-Jewish is hatred against anything Jewish established through the Council of Nicaea and through Christian doctrine.
Isn't that demonic? Mm.
It is the biggest principality in the universe.
Mm. And we see so much of it.
A lot of it. And the worst part is that it's sitting in the church.
And people don't realize what they're doing, I think, sometimes. They just go along with what they say, well, I did business with a Jew and they were mean to me or something, so I hate all Jews. That's wrong.
Well, America owns its statehood to the Jews, you know. I mean, there was one Jew, Solomon, that gave all the money when after the Civil War, America was broke. And he had never been recognized, but, you know.
Washington went to him.
Washington.
He was out of money.
Yeah.
They had no way of getting armament. They had no way of financing the fight against Britain. Mm-hmm. And went to this Jewish man, and he loaned him the money. It took everything he had. But we won the war.
All of it.
And he never got paid back.
He went broke doing that. But you know, the new style of anti-Semitism is anti-Zionism. And that's the fifth head of the monster. What is anti-Zionism? When actually they come against the fact that God, Elohim, has restored Israel to the land of Israel, but not only to the land that we see today, but from the Nile to the Euphrates. And that anybody that touches the borders of Israel messes with the God of Israel. In fact, I truly believe that, unfortunately, Trump lost the elections, even though I know there was election fraud. But let's put it that way. God is the one that exalts one and puts down another. At this point, that happened, and it was because the Abraham's Accords. Because I believe what happened is that he touched on the borders of Israel. Mm. And Samaria could not build anymore, and you couldn't touch on Samaria anymore. That's why it's so important to understand that anti-Zionism is the new form of anti-Semitism.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Okay, replacement theology
is a five-headed monster.
Is what? I mean, is so five...
It's replacing everything that was the gospel of the first century and the truth that the first century believers knew for another gospel made in Rome, coming out of Rome with Roman traditions, Roman feasts, borrowed from the Romans. Because what happened is the moment that there was this divorce, this disconnection from everything Jewish, then there was a vacuum.
So
and the vacuum was filled with replacement theology.
So replacement theology takes the place of the Jewish believers, Jewish people.
Not only.
It puts the church today in its place.
In a sense, you're right.
I don't understand it all.
No, you actually been very prophetic here with a tremendous insight, because what's happened throughout the ages because of replacement theology is that many people think that the Jews need to be grafted into the church. But actually what needs to happen is that the church needs to be grafted into the olive tree. And so it's not the Jews grafted into Christianity. It's the Gentiles being grafted into a Jewish olive tree with all of its promises and all of its covenant and
holidays,
the Torah
too,
and the holidays and everything else coming from there. But the moment replacement theology was established, a vacuum was formed. And in that vacuum was taken over by those gods.
Pastor Joe, do you understand replacement theology?
Not really. I'm learning some stuff here. that's interesting.
I've heard it talked about, and I don't think most people in the church understand.
No, sir.
That there's some religions that just literally have taken the place of the Jews, and so Jesus really is not going to return to the Jews. He's going to, they've written the Jews out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the problem we have in the world today, because it's not biblically correct.
Exactly. And it's a curse. It's a curse that comes in based on the key of Abraham, of course, because I will bless those who bless you, those that honor you, those that don't take you lightly, right, and honor you. I believe that
it's the truth that the Bible says that if we don't stand with Israel, that we will be cursed. Is that right?
Completely. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. And you know, I'm not even talking about standing politically. You need to realize that politicians can make mistakes. I'm talking about standing biblically, covenantedly, yes. biblically yes. with Israel.
Yes. That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen?
Man, we're going to run out of time here. I'm getting too deep in this thing.
But no, that's good. People need to understand
they got
what
to.
The
replacement theology is so dangerous
it's
that
so
it's just one of the
that term.
They will not understand to this the trilogy.
It's yeah. one that of the things Satan
will
has
open
used.
Up their eyes, all of them.
Why? Let me ask you one more question. Why is the story of Ruth so important?
Yes.
That we understand it. Oh, you talk about that.
Yes, yes. You see, the Moabites did not help Israel in the desert. The Moabites, you know, they didn't help them with bread and water when they were passing through. Mm-hmm. And Elohim said in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, that no Ammonite and no Moabite will ever enter into the congregation of the Lord, not even until the 10th generation, because they did not help you, Israel, in the desert with bread and water when you needed it. And so now, Ruth comes from a Moabite nation under a curse. For 10 generations, they cannot get salvation. They cannot be saved, because the only way to be part of the family of the Lord, of the congregation of the Lord, is to be part of Israel. By the way, it's the same for the Christians and all the Gentiles today. The only way to really come into the kingdom is through the olive tree. And so Ruth, what did she do? She was married into a Jewish family.
Right.
Naomi, her mother-in-law, had lost her husband. She became a widow. And Ruth lost her husband, and her sister-in-law lost her husband. The three of them died. They were in Moab because they had escaped the famine that was in Bethlehem at the time, okay, in Judah. They escaped to Moab. And finally, when the husbands die, Naomi, being very, very, you know, grieving and in mourning, decided to go back home to her family, to her people. And she was destitute. And so she begins to go towards Bethlehem, crossing from Moab to Bethlehem, which is a crossing. You can do it. It's right there, you know, the edge of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. And so you can do it. And when she was going, her mother-in-law said to Ruth, "Leave me. I have nothing to give you. I have no more sons to marry you to. Just go. Let me go. I'm an embittered woman. The Almighty has come against me."
She changed her name.
And, you know, the one of the daughters-in-law left, that's Orpah, and it means the one that gives the back of the neck or the one that betrays. And she wept and left her. But Ruth, it said, clung to her. And Ruth means the devout one, the one that's a devout friend. She clung to her, and she went with her to Bethlehem, destitute widows. And you know what happens? The end of the story is that because Ruth blessed Naomi so much, that clung to her and blessed her and honored her, she overturned the curse of the Moabites to a blessing, and she became the wife of the prince of Bethlehem, Boaz, and she became the grandmother of King David and the great-great-great-grandmother of King Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. And you know what that is? That's the key of Abraham in operation.
Oh, there we go.
That's it. That's the key of Abraham.
Wow. Wow, we could go for another couple hours on this, couldn't we?
Well, yes, she said one thing. She said, your God is my God. Your people is my people. Your Torah is my Torah. Wherever you die, I'll die. Wherever you live, I'll live. That is how she made the vow.
Wow. Now, if you want to hear more about what she's preaching on, you can get the whole set.
Yes, yes, that's
Nana,
right. We are
this.
Offering
three books.
Yes, absolutely.
This is unusual that we have three offers.
Yes, it's on
all
the screen
for
right
three
there.
Three for $65?
Yes, for a donation of $65, you can receive the entire bundle. That's three books: Sheep Nations, Grafted In, and The Healing Power of Roots. For a donation of $65 to the ministry, that includes shipping and handling as well. You receive all three together. You can call our toll-free number, 1-888-988-1588. You can also order through our website, jimbakershow.com.
You know, there's been many miracles with people when they've read The Healing Power of the Roots. Even all the way to somebody even in Morningside not long ago here. But I want to just mention quickly one miracle here, because there was this young 19-year-old lady, and she was reading the book, and she arrived to chapter 4 about the divorce between the church and the and Israel and the Jewish roots. And she was reading the book, and she fainted. Now, this particular 19-year-old girl suffered from tumors inside of her ovaries, and the doctors had told her at the age of 19 that she will never be able to be pregnant ever in her life.
Wow.
The thing is that she was reading the prayers, there's prayers at the end of the chapters that break curses, that break curses. And so she was reading those prayers, breaking curses, and she passed out. And then she found herself in the hospitals, and all the doctors were looking down at her with these big, big eyes. And she didn't know what happened to her. And they said, "Do you know what happened to you?" She said, "No." She says, "Well, you passed out. Your neighbors found you. They brought you to the hospital. And we went into your files, and we saw that you had this cysts in the ovaries that are very violent. But we couldn't find them anymore."
Wow. Amen.
She was totally healed.
Amen.
By reading that book and breaking the curse.
Wow. Praise
so
God.
Order your set of books right now.
Yes, amen.
Toll free 1-888-988-1588. Now this week we've been talking about the book of Revelation. I believe we're in the Revelation. Mm-hmm. I believe most prophetic teachers say that we're in chapter 6 of Revelation. And here's what it says in today's scripture I'm going to read to you. Chapter 6, and that's the four horses of the apocalypse, but this is verse 5. "And when he had opened the third seal," and this is happening right now, Mondo, you know this. You've studied it all over the world. I study all over the world. "I heard the beast say, 'Come and see,' and I beheld, and lo, behold, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances, scales, in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Mm. Now I could read a lot about that, but I'm gonna just say to this. The black horse is clearly famine. I'm praying that some great retired preachers are going to come and retire here and help us.
Absolutely.
Amen. We need a group of elders in our church, and I honor the elders.
Absolutely.
Pastor David is one of my elders. Yes. And how old is Pastor David?
He's your age.
He's your age. 82. Yeah. Poor thing. He's my age. 82. Oh, that's not so old, is it? But he's one of my elders anyway.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's terrible I'm an elder. I always thought I was one of the kids. I was a kid so long. But God wants the elders. We're going to respect them, the hoary heads. Do you have any gray hair, Rabbi?
Yeah, a little.
The Bible calls that hoary head. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So if you know what the Bible means. But I want you to be prepared.
Yes.
And this is the scripture that talks about the balance. Food is scarce. It must be parceled out. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're talking about doing. And prices are inflated.
Yes.
Is that not now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Prices are so high that, I mean, eggs are, what is eggs, about three times the price it used to be?
Yeah.
Just for eggs? I eat a lot of eggs, Lori. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to stop eating eggs, I guess. So, and then scarcity of food follows war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got warfare all over the world, and stuff is going to break out in the United States.
Come on.
There's going to be EMP bombs, we've been talking about them. You've got to be ready for what's coming. The King is going to take care of us.
Amen.
We're going to stand for what Jesus stands for. Amen.
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 Amen. I want us to make sure we have food in stock.
Yes.
And this is a miracle. Mm-hmm. For 2 years almost, we weren't able to get the food. Now we have it.
Yes.
And we're shipping it out as fast as it comes in.
Yes.
We ship it right from the factory.
Yes, that's right. They're shipping right from the factory. This is the Prepared Pantry 60 meal bucket, and that's for a donation of $225. Shipping and handling is included. There's over 13 varieties of different foods, like you're seeing on the screen right there. There's buttermilk pancakes, oatmeal, there's strawberry creamy wheat, Spanish rice, creamy chicken rice, spaghetti marinara, black bean burger. There's 13 different types of recipes in this bucket, and that's all for a donation of $225 to the ministry, shipping and handling included.
Do you have anything else I'm supposed to talk about
today?
Well,
I do really. We just have a couple minutes left. I do want to remind all of our viewers that we just partnered with Lion Energy to bring the generators directly to you. So you can visit our website, jimbakershow.com. And these are the large generators that you can have in your home. You can see that on the screen. The Safari Emmy, more energy generators.
You can run them in your house.
That's right.
You don't use gas or
fuelless
from
generators.
The sun.
That's right. Solar powered. That's right.
It's fabulous.
Yes. Yes. So this is brand new. We're now partnering with Lion Energy. We're so excited. Go to the website. You can see on the screen, jimbakershow.com. There's also financing options that are now available to you. You can also customize your package. You can add in the EMP bag. You can add multiple solar panels, the 3 LED string lights. The list continues. So go there to check it out at jimbakershow.com.
Be ready.
Yes.
Because perilous times are here. And America has turned its back on God so heavily that God's judgment is coming on the world.
You know, Pastor Jim,
the king is coming back.
Amen.
Our time is up.
One word. This is the week of shofars. These 7 years is about blowing the shofar. So in the book of Revelation, it's about those angels that are already blowing the shofar. So you're saying the judgment is coming.
That's close.
Wow.
Very close.
Oh, we had the brother in the audience.
Yes, let's do it.
Can you blow the shofar? We have one of the great...
You want him to do Amazing Grace?
We have one of the great shofar players in the world.
That's true.
And I've written your name down here.
Robert Wanger.
Robert.
Now
there he is right there. Would you do it? Play something for me.
Look at this.
Of the trumpet sounding.
Amen.
Be prepared. Make sure your heart's right with God.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming. Yeah. I have to go. Archbishop Dominic and Rabbi Bierman, we're just thrilled to have you here with us today. God loves you. He really does. Thank you, Joe, Pastor Joe, for being with me today. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today. 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.